instance. That's talking to the church. Okay? Now, to understand this, we have to understand James is not writing here, and he's not saying that you adulterers and you adulteresses. He's not talking about in a physical sense. I'm going to go over here and say it on this side, all right? He's not talking in a physical sense. He's talking in a spiritual sense. And he says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? In other words, we can get so close to the world, all right, that we're apart from God. Enmity, division, all right? So friendship with the world, for us to be shackled up or for us to be yoked up with the world is, according to James, division with God, all right? Because you can't have both. I need somebody to help me. Can't have both. Come on, it's easy teaching this stuff. We learned this since we was in Sunday school, all right? We can't walk and talk like the world and be hooked up with Jesus. You can't be hooked up with the world and be hooked up with Jesus, all right? Simple stuff there, okay? But the way he identifies that is he says that those that are attached to the world or shackled up with the world or yoked to the world, he refers to them as adulterers and adulteresses. Now, where did he come up with that phrase and where did he come from that? It comes from the Old Testament, and it deals with God and how he saw Israel. When Israel went into apostasy, he said basically, they were adulterers and adulteresses, all right? Matter of fact, you go read the book of Hosea, he gave him a prophet that married a harlot, and she cheated on him, and he continually took her back. God was giving the nation of Israel the illustration and the visual illustration of what they had done to him by going, leaving him over and over again, and how he would take them. Y'all got to help me. All right. So is everybody in the right mindset? All right. Now, this is how he identifies those that are friends of the world, those that are wrapped up in the business of the world and away from God. He says, you're adulterers and adulteresses. He says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now, look at that verse real good, real quick before we leave it, all right? Do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? The fact of the matter is that you and I ain't never satisfied. We ain't never happy. We want more. We want more. We chase after everything the world has to offer, all right? And so he calls them out first off, and he says, hey, you adulterers and adulteresses. And then he says, hey, it's in you. The spirit that's in you, it causes us, this spirit and dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy. And he says, verse number 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but give grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. All right? Now, all right, I know that's some that is not the sermon that y'all come to hear on the first Sunday of Harvest Jubilee. But it is what is needed for us to experience Jubilee. David said it in Psalm chapter number 51, and we'll be there before long, but he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. All right? David was referring to a time when he was apart from God. Everybody listen to me. He was apart from God because of that spirit in him that lusted to envy. There was something that he desired. He went and got it. We'll talk about it in a few moments. And it conceived and brought forth sin, that lust did. All right? And it caused David, according to Psalm chapter number 32, we'll get there before long too, y'all hang with me. But it caused him a great burden on his soul. Why? Because of the sin that was in his life. Is everybody with me? Now we look at David's life, and what's David's sin? Come on, talk to me. I got two people that said Bathsheba, and you were all thinking it. Yeah, it wasn't a trick question. What was David's sin? Well, he's known for. What is he known for? Bathsheba. He's known for killing a giant. He's known for Bathsheba. He's known for his greatest accomplishment and his greatest failure. All right? But David's greatest failure was adultery. All right? So, while we'll look at his physical adultery, I want us in the mindset of spiritual adultery. That's why we started off in James chapter number 4. Is everybody with me? And so all of us is guilty. Come on, y'all help me. All of us is guilty. I don't want to call anybody an adulterer and adulteress. But per the scriptures and how it's laid out, many times you and I have walked away from God. We have chased after the lust, that spirit in us that lusteth envy. We've chased after that. And we have found ourselves at times apart from God. We're His bride. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. Apart from God. I'm not going to say that word. Let me say it. Living as we should. So preacher, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that if revival is going to take place, it's got to take place in you. Revival's not a church service. We're going to have revival this week, but it's not a church service. It's not us coming and being entertained by the choir. Oh, I sure love that choir. They're the best thing in the world. If that's the only reason you're coming, then you're going to miss out on revival. See, revival, we have that every time we come to church. We don't need a special service to have choir sing good. Right? And we don't have to have that. We've got good singing every single service, all right? We don't have to bring in a special preacher to have revival. In fact, the fact is anybody stand up and preach that word, I don't care who they are, how bad a preacher they are, if they stick with that word, we can have revival. But revival is a choice that you'll make, and revival has to happen in you. And the fact of the matter is that revival is not happening today. It doesn't happen in churches because it's all about a service. It's all about meeting together at this appointed time and the choir singing and this preacher preaching. And that's what we have, the mindset. We have the pattern of the world. We've conformed to the world to say that a service or a revival is nothing more than a meeting that happens during the year. That's not what revival is. It never was. Revival happens in us. But for revival to happen, we have to go through the stages of what David did. And then that's what I want to look at this morning. So in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, how many of you are there? Amen. Verse number 1. The Bible says this, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." And so first off, we see the sin. That's my first point. The sin. I didn't put David's sin. I didn't put a sin. I put the sin, because this was the sin that defined David. I asked you about David. What was one thing? Most of you said Bathsheba, or either a few of you said the giant, but most of us knew David by this one sin. this one failure in his life, this sin. And this sin was a result of David's laziness. The Bible says that it was a time when kings go forth to battle, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Can I say this about the Christian? When you and I get lazy about our walk with Christ, that is when sin starts to creep into our lives. When we get lazy about our Bible reading, when we get lazy about our prayer life, when we get lazy about coming to church, when we get lazy about the things that we know to do concerning Christ, that is when sin comes into our life. And so we see the sin of David. We see his laziness. We see his lust. The Bible says that as he walked on the rooftop, he looked down and seen Bathsheba. I need somebody to help me right here. You better be careful where you're looking at. You better get your eyes up and quit looking down. David looked down, and when David looked down, he fell into lust. And when David fell into lust, it conceived and it brought forth sin. We find his laying next. We see his laziness, we see his lust, but we see his laying. The Bible says this, he brought Bathsheba to him. Now listen to this. The Bible says that they took Bathsheba. And they brought Bathsheba to him. Now I want to post something to you that's probably never, you ain't never heard this, because everybody thought that this man goes, he sends people after Bathsheba who's taking a bath up on top of her house. She comes down there and she's just happy to see David and jumps right into bed. I don't believe she done that. The Bible says he took her. I wonder, I don't know, this is going to have to be between God and David, but I wonder if he didn't rape her. I'm going to go over to this side. I just can't see a woman that's married, minding her own business. Somebody shows up and she just goes hops in bed with him. I think David's sin was far greater than just adultery. We'll see there was a lot more to his sin, but I think it was far better. It was far greater than just adultery. It wasn't they happened to see one another and started talking online and started meeting at the hotel and all of this. According to the Bible, David sent for her, took her, brought her up there, and laid with her, and she conceived. Bible says she purified herself. She got clean before she left and went back down to her house. Is everybody with me? I wonder if David sinned. Now listen, I ain't wanting to throw down on David or nothing else, but I want to show you the gravity of his sin. And yet God still called him a man after my own heart. So there's something David had right. It definitely wasn't a sin. We see his laziness. We see his lust. We see his laying in verse number 4 and 5. But we see his lying. He calls, he sends to Joab. I'm not going to read it, but you can read it in verse 6 through verse number 13. He calls Joab home, or calls Joab and tells Joab, send Uriah home. He gets Uriah home. He said, hey man, go spend some time with your wife. David sent all kind of food over there, all kind of gifts over there. He said, y'all have y'all big time. What was David doing? He was lying. He was trying to cover up his sin. Bible says, put Proverbs chapter number 28, verse number 13 up there for me, if you will, Miss Carrie. Proverbs 28, verse number 13. David was trying to cover up what he had done. Instead of getting it right, I need somebody, y'all gotta stay with me now, don't be looking at it, stay right here. Instead of getting right with God, he tried to cover it up. He tried to smooth it over. He tried to act as if it never happened. And how many Christians today are acting as if their sin never happened? We're going about our life as if our sin never happened. But Proverbs chapter number 28, verse number 13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I don't know about y'all, but I need some mercy. I don't know about y'all, but I need a little bit of that mercy. And if I have to be merciful, according to the Bible, to receive mercy, then I'm going to be merciful. But if I have to confess and forsake to have mercy, then I'm willing to confess and to forsake, because every day of my life, I need mercy. So David tried to cover it up. He began his lying. And boy, ain't that just like us. All of a sudden, we start lying about our sin. We start making it where it ain't as bad as it really all it really is. Well, it ain't that bad. I mean, I'm doing this. Yeah, I'm not coming to church. And yeah, I'm not doing these things. And I'm not doing that. But it's because I'm spending time with my family. It's because I'm doing this or I want to do this. The fact is, why don't you just be honest with yourself and be honest with God? You're in sin. And you're blaming your family. Your family's a cover-up. Just as he brought Uriah in, says, go on down there, take care of that woman of yours. Hide my sin. You hiding behind your kids. You hiding, don't get quiet on me. Hiding behind your kids' ball games. You hiding behind your kids' PTA meetings. You hiding behind everything in the world except telling the truth. And the truth is, you've allowed your relationship with God to go further and further away. And now you're apart from God. And it's your kids that are born. They're the ones that you're blaming it all on. Man, David just went up. He straight up. He said, Uriah, go down there and lay with that woman. But Uriah was so faithful, the Bible says that he slept at the king's door. He wouldn't even go down there to his house. David said, man, what's wrong with you? You're off the battlefield. Go eat. Go be married. Go sleep with your wife. Uriah said, no, sir. He said, my men are out there. He says, Joab, my Lord Joab, that's what he called him, because he looked at himself and viewed himself as a servant to the king, a servant to Joab, because Joab was leading the army, and he said, if they're out there in battle, if they're sleeping in tents, if they're out there in the woods, he said, ain't no way I'm fixing to go lay down in a bed and have all the comforts of home. He said, put me back on the battlefield. David said, all right, you stay right here and I'll put you back on the battlefield. David wrote him a letter. Go read it. And it's right here. He wrote him a letter and he said, I want you to hand this to Joab. What Uriah didn't know was he was handing his death warrant to Joab. According to the words that David wrote, I believe they're found in verse number 14. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. Now, hey, David went far beyond. Let's just cover this up. David says now, he says, all right, Uriah, I got a letter I want you to give Joab. And Joab, or Uriah rather, gave a letter to Joab that literally said, put him in the hottest part of the battle, get away from him and let him die. What a friend David was to Uriah. A faithful man. A man that loved David, served the armies of Israel. Matter of fact, the Bible says he was a mighty man of valor. The way David disposed of him. Why? To cover his sin. You know, we'll go to great extents to cover our sin. We do. We see his laziness, his lust, his laying, his lying. And the last one I put was his liquidation, because that's what he did. He got rid of Uriah. He had him killed. Liquidation means elimination, by the way. He had him killed. So we see the sin. Number two, we see the servant. Everybody with me? Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. The Bible says in verse number 1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Nathan comes. This is the prophet. He comes to David, sent by God, and he says, hey, I got a story for you. He said, there was this poor man, and give everything he had. He bought this little lamb. He raised this little lamb up in his house, and he nurtured it. He loved it. His kids loved it. The little lamb laid in his bosom. This little lamb was a part of their family. This little lamb, you would say, is his pet. But there was this stranger that came along the way. And this rich man, he wanted to please this stranger. But instead of taking of his own flock, he went and stole from the poor man. And he took his little lamb and he killed it and offered it up to this stranger, this wayfarer, right? Everybody with me? Now look at what David did. Verse number 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." Ouch. Ouch. Let me say this. God sees what you do. Y'all stay with me. God sees what we do. Though you may cover it up and though you may justify it and try to explain it away, God knows exactly what you did to the extent that you did it. Now see, there's a lot of us that sin and we cover it up or we try to cover up. Nobody knows what's going on behind the scenes while we're trying to cover it up. But God knows all of it. Not only did God see the sin with Bathsheba, but God seen everything else that transpired in that event as well. The cover up, him killing Uriah, all of that. So we see the appearance. How about this? Is everybody ready? God will send somebody your way to say, "Thou art the man." Amen. Y'all stay with me. I hate to call myself Nathan because I don't look like a Nathan. But God sent me here this morning to say, "Thou art the man." And me too. We're going through life and we're acting like it ain't no big deal if we do this or if we do that. And we're wondering why we don't experience revival. Why don't we experience revival? I told the prayer team it wasn't going to be a whole, we weren't going to be running around the building and shouting this morning. But this is one of them messages that need to be preached because if you're going to get anything out of this week, you're going to have a heart that's prepared for it. And if you come in with the same heart, I need somebody to hear me. If you come in with the same heart, you've walked into the services week in and week out, all revival will be to you is just another church service. Do we want something more than that? Do you want revival? I want revival. Do you want revival? So God sent a servant. We see his appearance. He comes to David. We see the illustration that he gave. I done read it. But then we see the acknowledgement that he made. "Thou art the man." And here's the thing. You're going to have to acknowledge that you are the man. Now, some of you mad right now. You're so mad at me right now because I have come in here. You come in here. I come in here on a Sunday morning to hear some good preaching and get me all excited about revival. But the one thing that our spirit does not want is for us to get right with God. One thing the devil doesn't want is for us to get right with God. David tried to cover it up, but God wouldn't let him. And man, maybe there's somebody in here this morning. We've been covering it up, but God's not going to let you anymore. All right? We see the sentence. I got to hurry. We see the sentence. It was foretold by David. I'm just going to point this out and we'll move on. But if you go and you read scripture, you'll find out that everything that David said what he was going to do to that man, God ended up doing to David. That's where you better be careful about what judgment you mete out on somebody else because you might have to live that judgment. I will say this about David though, God was merciful to him. And so I'll say this and I'll move on, but it was foretold by David and it was future. You'll go and you'll read, you'll find out it was through David's children that God punished him for his sin with Bathsheba. There's a lot of us that think just because we sin and God doesn't do something immediately, that we got away with something. Oh, but when that sin, that seed of sin is planted, it takes time to grow. I'm planting some sunflower seeds, and I got 90 days from when I plant them. Why? Because when you plant the seed, it doesn't just pop right up. It's the law of the harvest. What you and I do today, we'll reap later. And that's exactly what David's punishment was. So before we start thinking, oh, I got away with something, not necessarily. Is everybody with me? We see the sin, we see the servant, we see the sentence, but we see the struggle. Go over to Psalm chapter number 32. I got to hurry. Psalm chapter number 32. If you go over to Psalm chapter number 32, I want to pull out a few verses here, and just a couple. That's all I'm going to read, just a few verses, couple verses, and then we'll move on. In Psalm chapter number 32, I'm going to read verse number 3, and I'm going to read verse number 4. That's all I'm going to read, all right? So stay with me. David said this, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Verse number 4. David says, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. David is referring back to this time when he was under the sin and the burden of his sin with Bathsheba. The fact of the matter is that I believe David learned how to live with his sin. And that's why God sent Nathan. Nathan didn't show up a few days later. Nathan showed up months later because David refused to get right with God. David refused to get right with God, and so God sent Nathan. And Nathan showed up a few months later, and then David writes about it in Psalm 32, and he says, man, while I kept my silence, I felt the weight of my sin. Come on, y'all, help me. You ever been there before? You ever been in sin? And I know I have, so I'll speak for myself, and maybe y'all can relate. But I've been in sin and felt the weight of it, the burden of it. David said, my bones literally waxed old. He said, I was carrying so much of a burden and so much weight. He said, I was stumbling under it. He said, I couldn't. He said, day and night, your hand was just heavy upon me. Anybody ever felt that? Come on, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it in a physical sense. When you got in trouble at school. Come on now. Got in trouble at school and it was getting home to your mom and daddy. And for them 2-3 hours that you had to wait for mom and daddy to get home, let's talk about the burden. You knew it was coming. Well, some of y'all just got put in a corner. Not the rest of y'all that lived like I did. You didn't know whether you was going to live or die right then. I need somebody to help me. I mean, when we went home from school, mama's liable to beat you till you die, or daddy's liable to beat you till you die. There was no timeout corner. Timeout come later. Timeout come when soccer came around and mama started letting their boys play soccer instead of football. That's when timeout come. Just made some mamas mad. Hey. But that's when timeout come. We had knockout. How many of y'all remember that? I need somebody to help me. How many remember that knockout? Mama'd show up. I ain't lying to y'all. My mama's crazy. She's probably watching this, and I don't care if she hears it or not. My mama'd find out that I did something wrong at school, and she would beat me. And she's crazy. I'm telling y'all. She beat me. Ain't no telling what got hit, your head, whatever. It didn't matter. Listen, I never missed a day of school until the 8th grade, and that woman hit me with a broom handle and cut my head. Wouldn't let me get on the bus bleeding. Is everybody all right? First time I ever missed a day of school because I was bleeding, and she wouldn't let me get on the bus because she knows she'd go to jail. Woman was crazy. I'd tell her to her face she was crazy. As she tells me all the time, she says, you going to take care of me and let me move into that new house? No, I'm putting you in a nursing home. You're going to reap what you sow. They're going to beat you, hit you over the head. I need somebody to help me. I'm going to come visit you and say, see there? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. My mama would beat me. I'm not lying. My mama would beat me and then keep silent about it. Not say anything. And my daddy would get home. She'd be like, you ain't going to believe what he done. You need to go deal with that. And then daddy would come beat me for the same thing I done took a beating from her from and got a beating from school because we didn't have time out at school either. We had a, come on, I need somebody to help me. We had a principal with a paddle that had holes cut in it. Less wind resistant. Wham! Three beatings for one thing. I need somebody to help me. Because I spilt milk or something. So when I got in trouble, here, listen. When I got in trouble, them few hours between when I got in trouble and when I finally got whatever punishment, come on, I need somebody to help me. Who else had a daddy that talked to him for an hour and a half before they spanked him? Like, get it over with. Just shoot me. Dad would just sit there drinking his beer, smoking his cigarette, taking his time. Maybe he was calming down so he wouldn't kill me. I don't know. But it took him like an hour before he would beat me. And the whole time, my point is this. The whole time, that burden that we felt is coming, but what is it? The punishment is coming, but what is it? The burden that we carry. David said it happens in our spiritual life. And David said, why I kept silent, while I didn't confess my sin, David said the burden was more than I could carry. Oh, y'all hear me. Now let's go over to Psalm 51 and I'm done, all right? Psalm 51. We've seen the struggle. How many of you say it with me? The struggle is real. Say it with me. The struggle is real. Man, I'm tell you what, the hand of God sat heavy on David. And so David writes in Psalm 51, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin and cleanse me from my sin, or mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only, he's talking to God, against thee and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Let me read it again. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. How about this morning we just be true to God? How about this morning we just be truthful with God and say, God, I am not where I need to be with you. God, I have allowed things to come into my life to break fellowship with you and I. And God, today I come before you in truth and I'm saying, God, I need help. That's where David said. He said, behold, thou desirest truth. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Can I say this? There's a lot of Christians that, man, that you need to hear some joy and gladness, but the reason you're not hearing it is because there ain't never been a confession. Listen, he goes on. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David said, I don't even want this heart. This heart that gets me in so much trouble. This heart that lusteth the envy, according to James, this spirit, this heart. David said, create in me a new heart. A brand new one. Give me a new one. I can't deal with the one that I have. I gotta have a new one. Are y'all hearing me? Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Lord, if you'll do this for me, then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. David said, man, this sin in my life, it's affecting me physically. He says, my bones are waxing old, and I can feel the weight of you upon me. And he says, it not only is it affecting me physically, but it's affecting me spiritually. He says, I want to be pure, creating me a clean heart, a new heart. Give me a new one. I can't deal with the one that I have. But he says, the reason that my praise is so suppressed is because of my sin. So Lord, open now my lips. In other words, my lips ain't been able to be open. I ain't been able to shout and praise. I ain't been able to worship. I ain't been able to do these things. Why? Because y'all. He says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. David says, I'm the king, God, and if you wanted 1,000 bullets, I'd give them to you. If you wanted 100 calves, I'd give them to you. I'd give you whatever you wanted, but that ain't what you want. He says, thou delightest not in burnt offering. Last verse, we're done. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. We look at David, the last, we see the surrender. David found joy again because he confessed. Not only did David confess, but David repented. Verses 7 through 12, David repented. Purge me with hyssop, creating me a clean heart. David repented. How many of you know there's a difference between confession and repentance? Confession is seeing it and agreeing with it, looking at it as God does and say, God, I was wrong and I've stepped out on you. That's confession. But repentance is saying, God, I don't want to do that again. God, I'm not going to do that again. God, I'm going to change. I'm going to turn from my sin and turn towards you. Listen, his praise, we see his praise. He said, if you'll open my lips, if you'll do this for me, if you'll forgive me, he says, I'll shout, I'll praise, I'll teach others. Others will be converted if I can just receive forgiveness. But I want you to look at this last thing. This is the one I got hung up on, his heart. David said, it's not sacrifice that you want. Listen. He said, it's a broken spirit. You know what that made David a man after God's own heart? His heart. His heart. That same heart that he said, creating me a clean heart, I can't deal with this one. That same heart is what made David a man after God's own heart. How do you get that? It says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. You know what God wants out of us? A broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. In other words, instead of this bullish, justifying our sin attitude, I'm all right, I ain't as bad as somebody else, or I didn't do this, or I didn't do that, or my sin ain't named in the Bible here, or my sin ain't named in the Bible there, or I'm not near as bad as that person that's sitting over there, I'm not near as bad as the one that sings in the choir, I'm not near as bad as the one that comes down front, I'm a lot better than any of them. That ain't what God's after. God's not after, hey, David said, you're not after sacrifices. In other words, God's not after what you can give to him. He's not after a bigger love offering from you. He's not after a bigger tithe from you. He's not after more service from you. He's not after more witnessing from you. What God wants from you and I is to look at sin as he looks at sin and for it to break our heart and bring us to repentance. That's how revival happens. Revival happens when I see sin, as God sees sin, and I deal with sin instead of bottling it up and keeping it in my life and allowing it to affect my worship, allowing it to affect every aspect of my spiritual life. What God wants from you and I is for us to see it like He sees it. And be so upset about it and say, I can't live like this. I can't live like this anymore. So my question this morning to you is this. Do we keep going through the motions? Do we keep rolling right on in here? Let's just go through. We're going to revival service. Or are we going to have revival in us? Now it might take a while. It might take a while. Let me say this. It might take a while. It might take you about 3 or 4 hours before this thing sinks in. Right now you're mad at me because, man, this is not, I wanted a Joel Osteen message and this wasn't it. But I'm more concerned about your spiritual well-being than I am about pumping you up while you're in sin. You and I need to look at our sin. We need to look at our life, evaluate our life, and say, God, am I where I'm supposed to be with you? I believe it was David that says, search me, O Lord. Hey, listen. David said, search me, O Lord. You know why David had to say, search me, O Lord? Because David was just like us. And he was prone to just put it away like it wasn't no. He said, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Show me, God, and I'll get it right. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. Man, we can have the best revival we've ever had, or we can have the best revival services we've ever had. We're going to have to make up our minds. You're going to have to make up your mind. Why? Title of the sermon, Revival Starts in Me. Revival's in me. It's in me, Brother Kenny. If I'm going to have revival, it ain't going to be because Calvary Baptist Church has set aside a week to have revival. If I'm going to have revival, it's going to be because I choose to have revival. And I choose to have revival by getting right with God. Somebody's coming to the piano, whoever ain't, under the most conviction. We're going to find our way to an altar this morning. Everybody, come on, everybody. Everybody. We got aisles, chairs, just find you somewhere. Everybody. We're going to find a place. We're going to find somewhere. Why? Because we're all guilty of it in some aspect or some way. We've all allowed our lives to be influenced by the world and we've all justified it. We've all made excuses as to why we're doing this and why we're doing that. Instead of looking at it as God does and saying, Lord, I've sinned. My sin is ever before thee, ever before me. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. I'm not looking for your confession to me. Cry out to God this morning. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And David made an observation about that too. He says in Psalm chapter number 32 and verse number 1, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. David said, you want happiness? You want joy? It's found through forgiveness. And forgiveness is found through Christ. Every single one of us can walk out of here with a clean heart. A clean slate. I hate to even say it, but a do-over. I don't know about y'all, but there's many a day in my life I need a do-over. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, my heart's broken. Because, Lord, I know there's aspects of my life that I've given more attention to than I have to you. Lord, there's things that I've allowed to come into my life, Lord, that has consumed my time, my energy, my mind, that have absolutely nothing to do with you. Lord, I come before you this morning. I pray as the church has. Lord, confessing, Lord, that I have been wrong. Lord, I put my priorities where they shouldn't be. Lord, I chased after things that I shouldn't have chased after. I have lusted to envy those things that I desired out in the world. Lord, I've chased them instead of chasing you. Lord, I want to experience revival. God, we're just not having a meeting. But Lord, I want to experience revival, and I pray that our church wants to experience revival. But God, may we know this morning that revival starts in us. It starts in my heart, not in a pew, not in a parking lot, not coming through a church door. It starts in my heart. And Lord, if I regard iniquity in my heart, according to your word, you will not hear me. So Lord, I come before you. Lord, confessing my sin. Lord, I come before you in repentance saying that I'm going to do better. God, I'm going to do a better job of teaching. I'm going to do a better job of studying. I'm going to do a better job of preparation, of prayer. I'm going to do a better job, Lord, preparing myself. God, I pray, Lord, that we not put aside, not hide our sins, but lay them before you this morning. Lord, that you may cleanse us, purge us. Lord, I pray that you would use us, Lord, to spark revival in our community. David said, if you do these things, he'd teach others and that sinners would be converted. God, I pray that we see sinners converted because we're right with you and we've experienced revival with you. Lord, thank you for loving us. I want to thank you for your mercy. Though David pronounced death on that rich man, God, you showed mercy and did not kill David. God, I'm thankful for your mercy. Though I failed you, Lord, I'm thankful that your mercy over and over again, Lord, is evident in my life. Lord, I pray that I be merciful as well. God, I ask for your mercy in my failures. Lord, we love you this morning. I thank you for this church. I thank you for our church services. I thank you for our visitors this morning. God, may we take home something from the service today. Not a complaint, not something that we didn't like. But God, I pray that we take home the message this morning. We take a good look at our heart, Lord, and that we clean it up. We come to you in confession and Lord, repent. And Lord, start doing the works. Lord, that we should for what you've done for us. God, we love you this morning. Lord, we thank you.